speaking of the Jets, they get back to work today as well against the Giants. Joint practice in Florham Park, and then they'll face each other in East Rutherford tomorrow before their annual preseason game this Saturday. And on the Jets note, I've been wanting to get to this, so we'll use the little time we have left to do it. So we did a little trip down memory lane a few times. We did the Mark Sanchez, yep, Snoopy Bowl. We did Gino and IK with the punch. Mm-hmm. This was one when I was on the beat. I actually was not present for this because, believe it or not, it was during a bye week, 2014, and I was getting my wisdom teeth out. And this was the infamous John Idzik press conference after a 1-7 start for the Jets. A little sampling.
You start out losing 7 consecutive games. That's very personal. I'm the general manager of the New York Jets. I am responsible for the football operations of the New York Jets. Ultimately, I'm responsible for the performance of our team, the product that we put on the field. That lies with me. The buck stops here.
All right, so that's just a sampling of what turned out to be a 38-minute press conference, and this was from Brian Costello's right up for the New York Post. Somehow Jets general manager John Idzik spoke for 38 minutes Monday and created more questions. The biggest one, is this the right guy to lead the Jets?
Yeah.
And it was just a rambling mess of him trying to take accountability, but then not taking accountability and not being specific. So I was just curious if you have any memory of that kind of making its way into the locker room because it became a big news story here in New York City.
I think
in
I drank
the
most
team.
I ever drank in my life during that year. No, I mean, that year is foggy, obviously, we're a horrible team. But like we stated, I think we were talking about it yesterday.
Yeah.
He just wouldn't spin.
Yeah.
You know, we had the money to acquire some players and to kind of boost the roster. And is it just one? He had a mindset that he was trying to build the Seahawks of the East because of what he was dealing with the Legion of Boom and a young Russell Wilson and on and on and on. And it just wasn't it. And he wouldn't spend money to help. And Rex, I remember, and I've said this, you know, I remember Rex begging him, like, hey, man, you get me a quarterback or you get me some pieces where we can do what we need to do. We don't need much. We just need a couple keep. We needed a receiver. You know, Gino was really young.
Yeah.
We needed some tight end help. But Idzik wouldn't spend the money.
Yeah. And what point do you recognize it? Like how are, like, by that point, 1-7? Like, it's too late to add all that stuff. Like, how, like, what's Rex saying at that point?
I mean, training camp, you know what you need.
Yeah.
You go through a training camp, you know where you're deficient at. You know who's worthy of playing or a guy you just have to put in that role because that's all you have, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what some of the things we were dealing with. So,
but what he ended up doing to try and address some of those needs was the in-season trade for Percy Harvin, which I'll never forget out there before practice and after they announced that, and Idzik telling us that as a potential coup was their trade for Percy Harvin, who played in 8 games after the trade for the Jets and then only 7 more in his entire NFL career. Obviously had injury and concussion and migraine issues, but that was, I remember that being a big in-season move.
I love Percy Harvin. He was arguably top 5 best football player, top 10 best football player I've ever been around. I mean, we got him when he was pretty much broken.
On the downside, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the little time when he was healthy, you could tell in his heyday, he was legit, man.
Yeah.
He was,
sure.
And he was a good locker room guy.
Super Bowl winning team with the Seahawks.
Yeah, he was good, man. He just, when we got him, he was a lemon.
Didn't have a lot left, yeah. All right, let's get to moment of the day as we do that here. So we were talking earlier in the show, and you got onto the topic of Ben McAdoo. Yes, you did. So we were reminiscing about his introductory press conference, the Giants in that first season going to the playoffs, and then year two and sort of a different outlook and also a different physical appearance for McAdoo, which obviously kind of backfired.
They expect to have this big year. And I remember going to camp, and he had like the big doofy oversuits and the kind of like bowl haircut and everything. And then he shows up to camp, and it is slicked back like Pat Riley. And he's wearing the glasses.
It was Gordon Bombay in Mighty Ducks, too.
Yes, he was Gordon Bombay in Mighty Ducks, too. Yeah. There's no doubt. He was feeling himself. And I remember thinking, wow, this could feel. He practically put his feet up on the desk to talk to Mike. Like, it was just like, they're here. They have arrived. The Giants thought they were going to be so good that year. He showed up to that camp. I'll never forget it. I was like,
is there a picture of this?
He got crushed in the initial opening press conference for looking like, you know,
like
this
a schlub.
I mean, Dable was similar. Remember the Dable when he gets out of the blue pickup truck in the snow and walks in with the suit and the briefcase and that like staged video?
Well,
he did because of the way it was presented on social media.
Yeah,
but
of course.
He doesn't exactly, you know, dress up nice in a suit either. And I'm not knocking the guy.
No.
You know?
But at least he started with like this, I'm a blue collar coach.
Yes.
Coming to coach a blue collar team in a blue collar city.
Very true.
So he tried to give you guys Patrick Mahomes too.
McAdoo yeah. did. Yeah, yeah, that's a famous story that he was in that year of the draft. He was pounding the table to get to trade up and get Patrick Mahomes. And they didn't, you know, they didn't do it. So, he wasn't a great coach, but maybe a talent evaluator.
The way Sula looked at me like, ah, that would have been.
Sometimes it sucks to suck, bro. Yeah.
Willie and I locked eyes there for a second, and then all of a sudden he just reacted a certain way. So, yeah, there
the
you
great
go.
Great Ben McAdoo. The great Ben. They thought he was going to be the next great. They thought he was one of the great offensive minds. It was a disaster.
I really don't remember what's become of him.
He's been around. Yeah. He went to
Arizona after that to be like
was
the
it quarterbacks. Right to Arizona?
Yeah, quarterbacks coach. And then I don't know. I lost him after that.
I think he was with the Panthers. Wasn't he the offensive coordinator for the Panthers?
I like Arizona. I see. He went to the Jags as their quarterbacks coach.
Right.
Wait, right after the Giants?
It says 16 to 17, then not until 2020. Was he a consultant out there maybe for Arizona?
I thought he went out to, I could be wrong.
Now you got a Cowboys consultant, that's right. He was the offensive coordinator for the Panthers for a season.
Yeah.
And then he was a Patriots offensive assistant and defensive assistant the last couple of years.
Yeah, they were mixing and matching. Joe Judge
looks
was
looks like
an
he's
offensive
still
coach.
With the Pats.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He's
now he's a defensive assistant. I'm not quite sure how that's possible.
But. What's with, I mean, listen, now it's Vrabel, so, but they had Patricia and Joe Judge running the offense a couple of years ago. I mean, they killed that quarterback.
Yeah.
What a disaster that was. That's probably the most puzzling thing I can ever remember from obviously the great Bill Belichick. To give a young quarterback in May into his second year after a promising rookie season to give him Matt Patricia and Joe Judge as his offensive coaches. Like, oh my God, that is
Patricia still in the league? No, he's done, right?
He's in college now, I think.
Is he?
I think I want to say he's at Ohio State.
I know he's doing the podcast with Bill. Oh, he's at Ohio State.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten a good rap. Detroit was a disaster.
Yep.
Some of the guys we lose track of over the years. Pat Shermer's in Colorado with Dion.
Yeah, I know. Especially with the Giants and Jets, we lose track of a lot of those guys.
Here's a guy.
We lose track of a lot of them.
Real quick, I know we're late. A guy that literally, I not heard anything about him since he got fired in this town.
Gase.
No, that's a good one, too. Mike Maccagnan.
Haven't heard
just
of him.
Just vanished into thin air.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, the guy was a scout. I don't know if he's scouting somewhere, but like, if you try to look up what he's doing...
Nothing.
Just completely just went home. Off the grid.
Probably doesn't want to be found.
Seems that way. At least like Isaac, we knew he went and did cap stuff for the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Right.
But Maccagnan?
The last thing on McCagnan's Wikipedia page is getting fired by the Jets.
That's what I mean.
That's funny.
Usually Wikipedia, if it's something obscure, they'll keep up with them.
Yeah, so he's in the woods on Bunny Patrol.
Drinking coffee.
Yeah, he wants nothing to do with the NFL.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
That did not go well.
No.
Couple of A-plus hires by Woody Johnson.
Yeah.
And his... consultant teams or the Casserly hire or recommendation?
That was Maccagnan.
That's what I mean. Bulls. That's what I meant Maccagnan. Yeah.
Right.
Bulls.
And then Peyton Manning was Gase.
Right. Yes.
Another classic.
Good times.